Good afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 19th, 258th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, you gotta grab the microphone. It's like you're not prepared. Joining us this afternoon is one of the board members for the Humboldt Municipal. Okay, Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Sherry Wu.
Okay.
You outside enjoying the sunshine or lamenting or relishing the rains we got the last couple of days?
I was on campus when it was pouring and thunder and lightning. People were just grinning, walking in the rain.
Really?
It was awesome. Yeah.
I was in Brookings, missed it. Got a little bit of spit, drove down, drove through, and that was about it.
Oh, no, it was good.
But I'm tired of this humidity stuff. I noticed it did kind of burn off a little bit today, so we were in a little bit better situation than what we were. So you wanted to talk about triple net.
No.
No, darn. That was my favorite.
Line.
By decay, triple bottom line.
Triple bottom line. You know what that is?
I have absolutely no idea, unless it has to do with aquifers, and then we can talk.
No. Okay. Better than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it is triple net. Also, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the unfortunate situation that happened in Brookings. I know that it may not be something that would necessarily happen in Humboldt County, but we'll talk about it and maybe make the distinctions about why it couldn't occur here.
You'll have to tell me what it is.
I think we will all find out when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Mm-hmm. But before we do our quote this afternoon, Erica Jong, 1984, quote, "Being a daughter is only half the equation. Bearing one is the other."
Oof.
Huh? Yeah, oof. Ouch. Yeah, okay. Oof works.
That's kind of heavy.
Well, do you want a light one?
Yeah. Let's have something light.
I can laugh, but that's probably not too light. Oh. Okay, here we go. "I've got a heart like a college prom." This is from Ilka Chase, 1943. "Each one I dance with seems to be the best of all." There.
Okay. All right.
So has the drought, or whatever we were calling this.
Well, you can call it a drought.
Okay. Well, I know it has a technical definition. I know the state's trying to do the one size fits all. Have we had a drought in Humboldt County?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Technically as well as functionally.
Sure. Because the places that are not on Humboldt Bay Water or McKinleyville Services or any of the other retailers that we, get the water to, I mean, you can just be across the street and you're going to, your neighbor has, quote, city water and you don't, and you can be hurting. So, yeah, there's definitely a drought.
So as you look around in our region, and the status of Ruth Lake, okay, Trinity, Whiskey Town, Shasta, Shastina, I mean, Berryessa, I guess we could include also in Pillsbury. How quick is it going to take those other lakes or watering capture devices, or however you want to call
it,
to recover?
Boy.
Are there any projections that are saying this decade, this winter, something in between?
I don't think they know. We had a speaker come in to the last board meeting, Michael Furness. You should have him on your show.
You should bring him.
I will do that next time. Okay. Anyway, he is a hydrologist, geologist, and he was with the Forest Service, but I think he's retired now. Anyway, what his big what his concept was that he was trying to teach us was that all bets are off, basically. You know, we go back and we have all this hydrology data and all this, you know, rain data. And
the tree rings and all that stuff.
We have all of that, right? We have all of this data. But kind of like, well, that's in the past and this is now. And one of my professors at the business school at HSU says, well, you don't drive by looking in the rearview mirror. And so that's kind of what we're looking at right now is, well, you know, it used to be that maybe you could look at the past and project the future, but that's not quite the case
anymore. Well, there's a certain predictability over a long enough period of time. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That assumption may not be as solid anymore due to climate change.
Well, you do that with your budgeting.
To some extent.
You do that with personnel.
Yeah, to some extent. Why not? But again, you know, well, that I wanted to fit in this triple bottom line thing.
Okay.
I told you I was going to fit that
okay.
in.
So Mr. Furness is saying that things have changed so dramatically, so radically in the last 12 to 18 months that we can't rely on historical data?
Well, you don't plan for something like, was it the governor's twin tunnels or something like that on a 12 to 18 month timeline
right.
anyway. So,
and nobody looks back in history only a year and a half.
Right, right.
I mean, of course not.
So when we make these big infrastructure projects, you know, looking back on the last, what they would try to do, 50, 100, 200 years or something like that, you know, that the point that Michael was making was that, no, you know, we just can't really rely on that data.
Well, I think most people would agree a 200-year timeline is probably pretty short.
That's often what we have.
Even if you're in a wiggle, in our area, that's what we've got. Now, maybe you can do some
like
core rings
stuff,
and
stuff
and see what. But even that only goes back a couple thousand years if you, you know, go after one of the older trees.
Right, right.
Better idea, but it's like doing a survey sampling of five and then projecting it over the population base.
Yeah.
You might be right. You might be there, but you might not quite have everything that you need to make
water use based on teenagers, say.
Yeah.
That would probably be an overestimate.
One way or the other.
No, it would be an overestimate.
It depends if they have swimming pools.
No swimming pools. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Oh,
boy,
I take that back. You might want to have a volume of water for the fire that's going to come through. That's actually kind of more of a scary thing for me living in Fieldbrook.
Think, you know, certainly we're kind of blending across, but when we start talking about Forest Service and the lands, the management of the forests, I would like to think things are going to change. You know, Siskiyou and the problems that weed is having. The folks over by Reno, you know, 18,000 acres in one day or 1,800 acres?
It's amazing.
Whooshing it goes. And it's all based on dry fuel load that has been allowed to stay in the forest.
Instead
of harvesting and getting this stuff out of there.
Well, and then the other thing with climate change is that they figure that the trees will be more stressed.
Sure, more susceptible to anything.
Bugs and whatever. Yeah.
I'm more stressed too.
Are you?
Yeah, it's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu, who's from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Sherry, considering some of the different challenges that are out there with the drought, I know there's been an awful lot of focus, attention, and planning with the infrastructure in our area over the last little bit. And I don't know where it started, probably back, you know, when the stuff was put in initially, but I go back and I can remember West Haven and Trinidad in the late 60s, early 70s, having issues related to water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
McKinleyville periodically has, not anything lately, though. Mm-hmm. The folks in Southern Humboldt having their challenges. Rio del Scotia now is having theirs.
Yep.
Is it time, particularly with the excess may be the wrong term. The overabundance.
Yes, of the infrastructure and the pumps.
I was thinking of the resources that we have at this time.
Well, see, that's the thing. We have a big pipe and we've got some big pumps.
And lots of water at this point.
And some would say the water should go down. Anyway, I get where you're coming from.
To have a Humboldt County, mm-hmm. Humboldt and Del Norte County, Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity County.
We would actually love that.
Where is the blowback? What is the issue?
It's money. We would have to get it
funded. Huge heaping hunks of money or little bits?
I mean,
what would it take?
Huge hunks because, I think we would really like to be able to extend our water, I guess it'd have to be the actual, the actual district, to extend it north and south. That would be great. But getting a pipe down there would cost so much. I mean, I don't even know how many millions. So it's like the who would pay for it.
Well,
and it would be great if, Scotia, Fortuna, Rio Del, any of those. But, they don't have that much money.
That's what I see. It's almost a density issue, isn't it? There's just not enough bodies down there to amortize it.
Right, right. And so we've been pretty successful in getting grant funding for projects, but not for anything like that. And no, I think back in the day, there's some reports, I thought, that West Haven or Trinidad looked at to try to get water, I think.
At some point.
Yeah,
I think
a long time ago.
Yeah. So as you...
Yeah, I mean, we would love that.
Is that something that grants are designed to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, like this, so this bond that...
You realize Carol is cringing at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She knows her board members go off half-cocked all the time.
Okay, good.
Hi, Carol.
We're in safe territory then. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
She's totally used to this, shaking her head and rolling her eyes, I'm sure. The transfer option, right? We have the three options, et cetera, right?
Right.
So in that transfer option, there is one that we're sort of looking at. We've penciled it out, at least, in a very broad conceptual way, of having a pipeline go south.
That these folks could tap off of?
It would still be difficult, because right now that pipeline is going on the ridge crest in order to get it to some, higher density areas that
just easier
could
to
actually
get,
pay for it.
Yeah.
They would be able to have the population to pay for it, because we can't pay for it to go out. They would have to, the people down south would have to pay for it.
I would imagine the permitting of something like that would be horrifically horrendous, too.
Yeah. It wouldn't happen tomorrow.
Because there would not be any special allowances or relief because
it was
water.
Who knows what happens in the, if there's an emergency, right. We're talking about how bad is this? Is the rate of change so steep that people are going to start finally getting excited or not? Right?
How bad is bad?
And how quickly is it going to be bad? That's, put the time element into it, right? So I don't know.
But even in that kind of, say FEMA was involved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, just say.
Okay, so everything gets set aside.
Right, right, just say.
Boy, that would be a lot of people happy on that one. Okay. Let's just play that way out. So it's a matter of ordering the pipe, dropping the pipe in, connecting the pipes, running water. Boom, 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 boom.
The power.
You still
couldn't go that quickly,
could you?
And I think there would be power, too, because
for the pumps.
We'd have to pump. So there'd be that aspect of it, too.
So you're saying PG&E would screw the whole scenario up.
Well, I'm not going to totally point the finger at them, but they...
Well, there's nobody else who's around.
I know. There could be community choice aggregation, right? You know that? Okay, so it's when... I think City of Arcata was looking into it. So if enough entities, whether it's cities or counties or whatever, can get together and say, these are our power needs, and let's buy our own power instead of, getting it from PG&E, let's...
See if we can do something as a group.
Yes, and the reason I'm interested in that is because of our whole thing at Matthews Dam and not being able to make money off of that hydroelectric plant.
Because that's in the, quote-unquote, the bylaws of that?
Well, because we sell it to PG&E, and PG&E won't pay us enough to counter for the permitting. that terrible?
Gotcha. See, I knew that you were a conservative capitalist way down somewhere
in
those
deals.
I'm in
the MBA program. Okay, so.
That would be M like moose, not N like
M
national.
Like, well, you're like not in money.
The you're not in the NBA program.
No,
you're
or
the
NFL.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Hasn't that been an interesting couple of weeks, huh?
I don't like.
No, really?
I don't like.
KINS News and Information. Let's see what trouble we can get in the second half of this show.
Sure.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu from the Water District. Sherry, the drought that's happening and the illegal pulls of water, okay, or unpermitted, or whatever we want to call it. It could be a cabin. And we used to do a lot of tubing on the Trinity. Yeah, okay, great. So you can see guys, they had their little pump, 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 pump. And they were pulling it up, and you'd see the cabin up there, and that's where they got their water. Okay, fine. I don't think anybody got bent out because of that. But now we're seeing the industrial pullout, and it's not the school district.
Yeah, right.
And it's not the cities that are doing it because they have the ethics and the morals and the obligation legally to have to go through the process. So you guys know who they are. But I'm talking about the guys that are running the industrial grows have. Well, who told us? One of the folks coming in this week said, "Oh, you don't get it." And I said, "No, you're right. I don't get a lot of stuff." He said, "Some of these plantations that are under glass in these hothouses are bigger than what Lane DeVries has got over in Sun Valley. These are massive. These aren't little. They're massive.
Have you seen the aerial photos? Scott Bauer has.
Yeah,
really,
but I don't. It doesn't connect to me. It's kind of like the fire over in Siskiyou County. Put it here. Okay, I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Put it over there in the wilderness. Okay, weed got creamed. Yeah, sad for them, but I have no references on that. Don't have any references on these size greenhouses either.
Right. But other than to say if they're bigger than the lily bulb farms.
Yeah. Well, obviously they got more than five tomato plants growing in that one. I mean, that kind of base level stuff. I know Carol and you folks have been trying to get a sense of how many of these pools are there, whether it's out of the Mad primarily, but also out of the Eel also, a little bit out of the Mattol. Any sense, any idea, or Trinity, I guess we could throw in there now too, of how many or to what magnitude that of water is being taken out?
I don't think that we've done it like with our arithmetic of, here's water coming out of Matthews, and then we would expect this much at Essex.
The evaporation factor.
Yeah, we don't, we haven't really gone that far. But again, like I brought up Scott Bauer's name, I think he has because, he did that thing where they had aerial photos from maybe from Google Earth, maybe it's satellite, and just did some calc. So here's the area of farms, and there's this many plants per acre, and each plant takes X amount of water, and that was a big there was argument about that, how much water, but there
depending
is an estimate. There is,
and that is what percent?
I do not know.
Either it was really, really high and overwhelming and numbed your mind to it, or too small, it didn't matter, or you went out for a
I just checked
drink.
Out.
Yeah.
I checked out and came back in. No, really, I can't say that it's not like X percent of the amount of water, but, anecdotally, I think we can see it.
Well, I just kind of in a curious I wonder how that would measure against the pulp mill pull. The one obviously isn't being paid for.
Right.
But is it similar? Is it close? Is it hardly even a register to get a sense. Because if those guys were paying at the rate that the pulp mill was, all of a sudden things get into balance.
I don't know.
That's two good questions I've stumped you with. You know that. Uh-huh. MBA,
hey, I never said that I had all the answers. And you wouldn't have anybody on this show if everybody had to have all the answers or not show up.
That's true. Uh-huh. Well, you have all the answers. It's just to the wrong questions.
You're not asking my
question.
It's you're not asking
that's
right. the right questions.
See, I knew it got back to me.
It's your fault. You're a terrible interviewer.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. It would be interesting though to see how that would measure out. I mean, to get a sense of what is the impact of this stuff, because I think we all agree, it's there, but I don't think regular guy has a clue.
Well, not even just regular guy. I mean, look at me. I don't have a real clue. We just have a feeling, you know, this feeling that here we do all our habitat conservation plan and, you know, try to operate the system in an environmentally safe way.
Play by the rules.
And it doesn't really matter if they're pumping the water out up there.
See, we got back to that air quality and water quality thing in China that we were talking about during the break.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information. It's an inside joke, and it wasn't that funny, so we're not going to share. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Sherry Wu.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu. Sherry, the folks in Brookings and Harbor are going through an interesting situation, combination with the drought, tides, and the locations of where they pull the water out for the water system. How do you determine where is the best place for the rainy wells? Whether they're existing or whether they're new, to know that it's the most efficient place or the most effective or the most safe or whatever standard is measured for that when it comes time to pull water out.
That's a good question. As far as the rainy well, our rainy wells, I don't really know. We'd have to go back, which would actually be really interesting to ask John Winsler, how do they decide to put the Essex wells there? You know, put the rainy wells at Essex. But when you're talking about Brookings, right, they put them a little too close to the ocean.
Too close, yeah.
Oopsie.
Oh, yeah, you have a short drainage. Yeah, okay. But it does seem kind of intriguing because, you know, we've never talked about that one before. You know, how do you determine where the lines are?
Path
of least resistance or what was available at the time?
I wonder if it really had more something to do with, and we have to get the pipe from Essex to the pulp mills, and that would, and you know, this is a good route.
So that might have been a short line.
I mean, I don't know, but I wonder if that would have been a good elevation and whatnot.
How far up beyond the tidal influence are those?
You know, in miles and feet, I don't know, but I would say that I think we're pretty safe, even giving sea level rise. You know, even if we assume that, you know, that's going to happen and
tidal
we'll
wave
have
might,
tidal.
Might influence, but not.
And the reason I kind of think that is because we've already been looking at the estuary with our in-stream flow option. You know, what happens if we use some of the water?
What happens if?
Yeah.
You know, the
plan where is the estuary? And that's why I kind of have this feeling that we're going to be okay.
That's three research items now out of this one show that I've tasked you with.
And since you're going to fund all this research, it's awesome.
No, that would be... What's it going to cost? A cup of coffee for Winsler to come up with an answer? I mean, that's a simple one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Are you out there, John? Are you listening?
Yeah. Yeah. Wake up, buddy. What's the next big thing that's out there for the water district? What are you continuing to replace the infrastructure?
Yeah, we're going to I think our next big thing is the Fieldbrook-Glendale line. And that I was amazed when I first learned that our line is on that rickety old bridge. It, I mean, just to normal people, it looks terrible. I think to engineers, it looks worse than terrible, you know. So that is going to be replaced in, you know, somewhat near future. We have the grant funding for that. We're putting out some money of ourselves.
So that's next fiscal year that should be...
Yeah,
starting to work on?
Well, I'm not sure if the construction will start, but we are working. You know, that there need to be studies, and there's cultural issues there because that. Don't you roll your eyes?
No.
I'm telling you, people, he rolled his eyes.
Oh, no question. We had the opportunity to pay $5,000 to replace something that was on a stand.
Nothing else
changed.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know. I am painfully aware of some of those, particularly if it's a pre-existing.
There were known artifacts,
yeah.
I think.
And so it's all mapped out already, right?
Well, where we want to put it, maybe not. So anyway, they're doing that.
Good.
And Carol will be happy for me to keep hammering on the fact that we did get grant money for this, which is actually, I'm not,
for the,
I will harp on
for
it
the cultural studies?
Awesome. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So we got
pay for a lot of that.
Well, for you, they will. They weren't
for us, the water district.
Yeah,
because we made the did the grant application,
and
because
you're government, they wouldn't pay for me.
We're for the people.
Yeah. So am I.
We're for the people. I'm only sort of joking.
Yeah. So that project's in the works now,
yes.
and you're hoping 18 months.
Hopefully.
It'll be off the rickety bridge?
You know what? I'm not going to say, because then Carol really will go, Sherry, that wasn't the right... I have to go look at the schedule. And, you know, the other thing I will say, too, is when we do get these government grants, and it's the government that's doing the environmental studies, there are delays.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have control over that.
I would imagine each...
That would be
very interesting, I think, for a lot of us to find out in that scenario. Is it because there are delays, or is it because who's going to be the number one resource management? Who's flexing their muscle the most?
All I knew was it wasn't us.
Yeah.
It wasn't
I got
us.
Little baby guns here. It's not going
to
happen.
It wasn't us, and there wasn't much we could do or say to make them hurry it up.
Yeah, I bet you ran into the same ones we did. Thanks for coming by, Sherry.
All right. Thank you.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love to see you tomorrow.